Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we all know, things in our world today are far from business as usual. The COVID-19 pandemic, protests in the streets, and cries of racial injustice have taken center stage. And that's why Pastor Rick has decided to set aside our regular programming in order to share his heart regarding these extremely critical issues. He'll be taking us through the small but mighty book of James in a series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. In this teaching, Rick gives you the principles you need to live through a pandemic. Please be sure to invite a friend or loved one to listen along with you today as we begin our series. In a year that's caused millions worldwide to experience fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's never been more important to get God's life-changing word out to as many people as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will allow us to do just that. If you'd like to help this ministry as we reach out to the world with the hope found in Jesus Christ, just go to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Real Faith Versus Fake Faith.
You know, today, our culture is literally overrun with fake products. Almost anything real can now be faked and purchased at a much cheaper price. You know, I fly through a lot of international airports around the world, and in many countries, you could buy a fake Rolex, $15,000, for only $100, and it looks identical to the real thing. And of course, today, you could improve your body with fake nails, fake hair, fake teeth, fake body parts, which will remain unmentioned, fake tanning. And then you can go out and you can eat a taco with fake meat and fake cheese, and you could put fake sugar in your coffee. And then you can wear fake designer clothes made out of fake leather and fake fur while you talk about fake news to your fake friends on social media with your fake identity. Now, there are some areas in life where fake works just fine, just as well as the real thing. But there is one area where you have to have the real thing, and it is this. You have to have real faith, not fake faith, or it doesn't work. In the Bible, in this book, there are over 6,000 promises of God that God has made to you. You need these promises to stay stable and strong and healthy during this pandemic. But to access those promises, you have to have a real, legitimate, genuine faith. Fake faith has no power to change your life. It has no power to save you. It has no power to answer your prayers. Fake faith has no power to transform you. And when life doesn't work, like in this COVID-19 pandemic, fake faith doesn't work either. So, in the book of James, we now come to the second half of chapter 2. And here we have a little essay written to help you know the difference between real faith and fake faith. Now, I want to guarantee this today. It's going to make a huge change in your life. This is going to be very, very helpful. It's real simple to understand, but it's real basic, knowing the difference between fake faith and real faith. Now, for instance, some of you have been wondering why your prayers have not been answered. Well, maybe the problem isn't your request, but it might be that you've been using fake faith. So today's passage in James chapter 2 is going to help you know the real difference between the real and the fake that has no power to help you. Now, let me read you James chapter 2, verses 14 down to about 20, okay? It says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anyone. Suppose you see your brother or sister who needs food or clothing, and you say to them, I wish you well. I feel for you. I hope you stay warm and eat well. But then you do nothing to meet their needs. What good does your sympathy do? It's worth nothing. In the same way, faith, if it is not accompanied by actions, doesn't work. It's dead and it's useless. Now, someone may argue, well, you know, some people can have faith while other people do good deeds. But I say, I can't see your faith if I don't see any good works in you. I don't see any good works to show for it. In contrast, I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Now you say, well, I believe there is a God. And I say, well, good for you. But even the demons believe that, and they are afraid. It's foolish not to realize that faith in God is useless if you don't do what God wants you to do. Now, after reading that passage that I just read, I'm sure some people think that James is contradicting Paul, who wrote some of the other books in the New Testament. But that's a misunderstanding. James and Paul don't contradict each other. Instead, they complement each other. And you can see the way they complement on the outline on the chart that I put on your outline. Look at that chart. For instance, when Paul is writing, the emphasis of Paul is how to know I'm saved, how to know I'm saved. But the emphasis of James is how to show I'm saved, how to show I'm saved. Paul's focus, when he writes about this, he's focusing on the root of my salvation, which is internal and unseen. James is focusing on the fruit of my salvation, which is external and visible. It's two sides of the same coin. When Paul talks about, quote, works, he's talking about keeping Jewish laws in order to become a believer. He says, you can't do that. They won't save you, keeping Jewish laws. But when James uses the same term and he talks about works or good deeds, he's talking about living like Jesus because you already are a believer. So, what is real faith? Well, James first tells us four things that real faith is not. And then he gives us two examples of what real faith really is. Now, as we go through this today, you might use these points as a quiz for self-evaluation. Do I have these saving faith items in my life? First, James 2:14 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anybody." Now, I want you to circle, if you're taking notes, the word saying. What's the use of saying you have faith if you don't have any actions in your life? Here's the first thing he says, real faith is not. Real faith, he says, is more than just words I say. Real faith is more than just the words I say. It's more than just a memorized prayer. You know, sometimes people pray, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, et cetera, et cetera. And that doesn't mean you're a Christian. That doesn't mean you know the Lord. Doesn't mean you have faith. It's just something you say. Repeating something that I heard other people say doesn't mean that I have real faith. Saying, claiming that I have real faith doesn't prove that I have real faith. Knowing all the religious lingo and all of the phrases, just because you say you have faith doesn't guarantee you've got it. You ever met anybody who sounded like a believer? I mean, they know all the right phrases, but their lifestyle is a 360 degrees or 180 degrees difference. Their lifestyle doesn't match their words. You know, studies have shown that in the United States, most people claim to be a Christian. Vast majority of Americans say, I am a Christian, but they sure don't act like it. They don't act like it. And we've saw outbursts of racism here just recently this week. That's not Christ-like when we treat other people with disrespect. And a lot of people live any old way they want to live. That's not faith. You know, today, we make a mistake, and we tend to label anybody who's a celebrity or anybody who's a sports star as a Christian if they just vaguely sound like a Christian. You know, somebody gets up at the Country Western Awards and they say, I just want to thank the man upstairs. Well, who are they talking about? The producer? You know, that doesn't mean they're Christian. He's saying just because you say you have faith doesn't mean you've got it. Real faith is more than words. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says this, not everyone who says that I am their Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. Not everyone who says that I'm their Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. The only people, this is Jesus talking, the only people who will enter heaven are those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do. It's not just what you say, it's what you do. You ever had a driver flip you off, and then as they drive by, they got a Christian bumper sticker on the back? You know, I could say, for instance, I could say or I could claim to be the best dancer in the whole world, but that wouldn't make it true. And the moment I started dancing, you'd know it was not true. Now, what value is phony faith? What value is fake faith? None. It has no value. It's worthless. Talk is cheap. So real faith is more than just words I say. Number two, second thing James says, real faith is more than just an emotion I feel. He says that in the very next verse. Real faith is more than emotion I feel. You can be inspired and you can be emotionally moved and you can get a quiver in your liver and you can have, you know, goosebumps and you can be really emotional and never have real faith. James gives us an example of this. In James chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, he says this. Suppose you see your brother or your sister and they need food or clothing and you say to them, I wish you well. I feel for you. I hope you stay warm. I hope you eat well. But then you do nothing to meet their needs. What good does your sympathy do? It's worth nothing. In the same way, James is still talking. He said, if it's not accompanied by action, it doesn't work. It's dead. The faith is dead and useless. Do you see the sarcasm that James is using here? He said, you know, you go up to somebody who's out of work, and we've got 32 million people out of work right now just in America, and they need food, and they're in the food lines. And you go up to them and you say, hey, buddy, I feel for you. Hang in there. Cheer up. Keep your chin up. Don't worry. Be happy. When we use all these great cliches and pious platitudes and say, you know what? I'll pray for you. You know, they don't need your prayer. They need food. Okay? So you can say all those words, but it's not faith unless you actually do something about it. If I shut my finger in my car door and I can't get it out, I don't need your sympathy. I need your assistance. I need you to help me get my finger out of the door. I don't need you to come up and say, you know, brother, I sense your pain. Just let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. No, real faith is practical. It gets involved with people's needs. Now, faith is more than the words I say. Faith is more than the emotions I feel. Number three, James says real faith is more than an idea I debate. Real faith is more than an idea that I debate. And he says that in the very next verse in James chapter 2. You know, for some people, faith is just an intellectual game. It's just a mental challenge. It's a theology to be studied. It's a doctrine to be debated. It's a dogma to be defended. It's an idea to be discussed. It's a truth to be talked about. In other words, for them, faith is not something you do. Faith is just a conversation. They love to talk. Talk, 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 talk. They'll talk all day and night about God, about faith, and they'll be happy to debate you. And it's all about conversation, not about conduct. They would rather discuss the Bible than do it. Okay? They'd rather debate theology than do it, than practice it. And in James chapter 2, verse 18, he imagines an intellectual objector, this third kind of fake faith. He says, now, verse 18. Now, someone may argue, isn't it possible that some people have good faith while other people do good deeds? And James says, but I say, no. I can't see your real faith if you don't do anything, if you don't do any real deeds to show me. He says, in contrast, I can show you my faith by the good things I do. In other words, he's saying, hey, you know, the guy goes, you're into doing good things. Well, I'm into discussing good things. I like to discuss it. I like to talk about the Bible. I don't want to practice it. I want to just discuss it. And that's cool. You know, you say, that's cool. I don't want to get my hands dirty. I really don't want to do anything about my faith. I would rather just fight over it online. I don't want to obey God. I want to debate God. I'll discuss it all night, but don't ask me to make any commitment. That's fake faith number three. Now, there's a key phrase in verse 18. And if you're taking notes, I want you to circle the phrase, show me. He says, how do I know you got real faith unless you show me? He says, real faith is visible. It's apparent. You can see it. You show me. You know, here's the fact. Faith, like love, is odorless. It's colorless. It's weightless. You can't see it. So how do you know if somebody really has faith? James says, look at his lifestyle. Look at her lifestyle. I got to thinking the other day, you know, on a diet, I realized that faith is really like calories. You can't see calories, but you can sure see the results of calories, okay? You can't see calories. You're never going to see a calorie, but you could see the results. And that's what faith is. You can't see faith. It's odorless, but it's invisible, but it's got results. Some of you remember, if you're old enough, growing up, there was a classic movie called The Invisible Man. And in the movie, The Invisible Man, you only knew the guy was around if he moved things. You know, he tips over a cup or he opens a door. And the point here I'm making is that real faith, you can't see it by itself, but real faith is expressed in visible ways. Some of you probably grew up in Missouri. And Missouri, you know, is the show me state. It's on this license plate. And Missouri is a show me state. James is saying, I'm the show me man. Show me your faith, and then I'll know it's real. Don't tell it to me. Don't say it's an emotion, an ocean of emotion. Don't tell me it's words you say. It's something you do. He says, if you claim to be a Christian, James says, then I have the right to ask you to prove it. And the way you prove it is by your actions. Now, the truth is really this. Somebody as big as God cannot possibly come into your life without changing you visibly. It's impossible for somebody as big as God to come into your life and it not change you in a visible way. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed away, the new has come. Everything becomes new. Now, it doesn't become new in your life overnight, but it does become new in your life over time. And if I were to grab a 220-volt, wire of electricity, I would know it instantly. And you would too. And if just like you know when you grabbed a hot wire of electricity, you know when God's coming in your life because it changes you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together. If you missed any part of today's message, just go to PastorRick.com to listen again. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. At a time when the coronavirus has millions of people worldwide isolated and dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is of paramount importance. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us continue reaching out with the love of God during this unprecedented time in history. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world with a financial gift to Daily Hope. Today, when you give, we'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of Pastor Rick's book called Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. It's a beautifully illustrated 365-day devotional from Pastor Rick that offers daily encouragement from the Bible. Go to PastorRick.com today to have your financial gift matched up to $50,000 and to receive your copy of Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. You can also text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to give. We'll lose any part of the grant we do not match by the end of this month, so please contact us right away. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I want to take a minute and tell you how important your support is to Daily Hope. Your generosity, when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping us take the message of Jesus Christ literally all around the world in the many places where there aren't missionaries or churches. These are called unreached tribes. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the refugee crisis around the world. Literally, millions of people have been displaced from their homes, particularly in the Middle East and in North Africa, because of civil wars and violence. One of those places is South Sudan, where over 200,000 people are living in refugee camps. Now, when people are under tension and in transition, they are more open to the gospel than at any other time. These people who are living in refugee camps right now need the hope of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, when you help Daily Hope Radio and Daily Hope Broadcast, we're not only broadcasting across America, but in places like South Sudan, where the station airs our program three times a day. And we're told that many, many people are coming to Christ in this war zone as they listen to these Daily Hope broadcasts. So thanks. Thanks to you. Now, let me just read you one testimony that we've received. Here's a note from a woman who's living in a refugee camp there in South Sudan. She said, my name is Joyce, and I'm from the Central Equatorial State in South Sudan. I lost all five of my children and my beloved husband. This is in the civil war that was going on there, as well as our family possessions during the recent fighting in the capital of Juba. She said, I had planned to commit suicide. There's somebody who needs hope. When I listened to Rick Warren's broadcast, the one called When You Feel Like Giving Up, I got inspired and I dropped the idea of taking my life that very night. And I'll continue to pray God to bless this great preacher, and thank you for giving me hope. Joyce, we're happy to do that. And I want to say it's because of the listeners who are giving faithfully every month to Daily Hope. You realize that when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping reach people like Joyce. She was going to commit suicide in a refugee camp. Now, isn't God amazing? How when you just give what you can give, God takes it and He multiplies it, and we reach out to people that none of us could reach on our own. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for Joyce. And today I want you to pray for all of the people who are in refugee camps, and pray that we'll be able to continue to broadcast on these stations, taking the good news of Jesus Christ and hope to people who need it the most desperately. It's your sacrificial giving. It's your prayer support that makes this possible. So thank you for whatever you can do. And God bless you, my friends.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.